during the war years, there had been only one television station in Chicago, per se, and it was owned by B&K Theaters.
Balaban and Katz.
Balaban and Katz. But during the war, it was taken over by the Navy, and it was a radar school. When it was returned to private ownership, people began to think of it as a new and fabulous form of advertising. And one of the big, why, who in the world doesn't know Marshall Field and Company?
That's right.
They decided to buy a half hour in the evening, and they wanted, and Don McNeil was to be the star of it. Now, I adore Don McNeil. I love him with a passion, and we're the greatest of friends. But I know that he doesn't like to have to study anything and memorize it. He did Breakfast Club for 35 years off the top of his head, and so I knew that's how he operated. So he was now the star of the show, and I said to my husband, oh, I hope and pray that he doesn't drag me into one of these things, because I know how bad they'll be. Well, I got by for about 3 weeks, and then I got the call. So they were going to, it was just about Thanksgiving time, and they were going to do this melodrama. And the name of it was, That Turkey Is Too Darned High. Now, that should tell you right there the kind of a thing it was. And I was to be this poor orphan girl whose house was about to be snatched from over her head by this wicked sheriff who was Don McNeil and his equally villainous helper, Sam. And I was sitting at this table weeping because the sheriff was going to come and I wasn't going to be able to pay. And so I said, well, you fellows haven't learned the line. I know you haven't. Don said, don't you worry about a thing. He said, they have them, they tell me. The cues are all in their hats. So I was seated at this table, and I cried. It seemed to me I cried for a half an hour. And not a word did they speak. Came in the door, you know, but not a word. Didn't look in their hats. I said, I presume you've come for the rent. They both nodded. They didn't even say yes. That was in their hat. Yes, I know it was written in their hat. Well, I cried for another 25 minutes, and finally I said, well, I haven't got it. Well, it was so awful. It was just horrible, and I went through about three or four of those. So one afternoon, Captain Eddie called me, and he said, Fran, he said, how would you like to do a television show? Well, I remembered. And I said, oh, Captain, I just don't really believe I am interested. And he said, Fran, this is like for money and all that. Oh, well, I said, why don't we talk it over?
That makes a difference.
And so I said, tell me a little bit more about it. Well, he said, Bert Telstrom is going to do it. And Kuklinalli, he said, you know Kuklinalli. And well, I did, of course. Not well, but I had met them, and I was a great admirer of Burr's artistry. And so he said, Burr thinks if he could get someone to work in front of the stage, that it would be easier to do an hour a day, 5 days a week. I said, well, I would think so. So I went down the next day, and the advertising agency was there, and all the people were out from Camden, and we discussed what we'd do, because we were going to sell television through television, but they wanted to aim it at children. So we agreed that it certainly would be well worth a try. And we each went our own ways over the weekend. I went down to the studio on Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock, met Bird. We went to the drugstore and had some coffee and talked about what we would do. Went on the air at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And from that point, we worked 10 years. It started out to be the Junior Jamboree, and that didn't seem to make much sense. And so it just became Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Was that, yeah, that was the name that certainly everyone remembered about the show.
And our greatest followers were people from the arts, people at whose shrine I trembled, and came to know them as good and wonderful friends. And of course, the press was always so kind to us, so good to us. And we even did Kukla, Fran, and Ollie on radio for one season.
Now, this was about 1950,
Fran? Yes, it would have been. Mm-hmm. And it was in, we did it in the early afternoon. I used to just love it. And I remember this one day because it allowed us to do things which, of course, we couldn't physically do.
Right.
Ollie's mother comes to visit us. She's from Vermont, you know, and she was cooking. And so she was making these cookies, and so I said to her, Mrs. Dragon, do you always put string beans in your cookies? And she said, no, said I, only when watermelon isn't in season. So now the favorite thing now we have is the string bean cookies. We always tremble when Mrs. Dragon comes to visit. But it allowed us to do real, you know, wonderful things. We could go places which, of course, we couldn't go. Although in the last series that we did for NET, it was possible electronically to do a thing. We had Christmas. We had all the Kukla Powhatans singing Christmas carols. And, you know, electronically we could pop up two at a time until we had the whole group singing.
Oh,
and it was
right,
just great.
Are,
it was
yeah.
wonderful.
And basically was the show ad-libbed on television?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, entirely.
You had an outline, I suppose.
We had an outline. Many times, maybe something happened in the papers that was current when we were doing it. And we did it live, you know, that 10 years. And maybe it was something that happened at my house or at Burr's that we could translate into Kukla Powhatan experiences. So it was great fun.
So your whole career has been one of
off
the top
of
your head. Huh?
No
scripts ever,
no.
Huh?
Fran Allison, it's been great fun visiting with you, and I thank you so much for sharing your marvelous career with us.
What a lot of fun the two of you must have. I think that's great. All kinds of good luck to you.
Thank you, Fran Allison. This is Dick Bertel.
This is Ed Cochran.
Good night.